Welcome to the Year of Suffering. We're going to have a whole day trek with a Balkan missions tour in the morning, two in the afternoon. And we're going to start with Jan Jurgens from the Open University, which is nearby London, as I understood, never visited you. So he came from UK today to tell us more about his work on model-based security testing for evolving systems. He's currently leading, coordinating security engineering SP7 European projects for evolving systems and secure change. He's author of quite interesting books. One book, Secure Systems Development with UML, which you may know as he's working on IT security, which we are looking forward. And of course, we are looking forward to his presentation today. We're going to have 40 minutes overall, including discussion, and I hand over to you.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much for the introduction. So yes, I will I will discuss the challenges involved with quality insurance for security critical systems, and in particular keeping in mind the issue of evolution. And as was already mentioned, so this is ongoing research as part of a European research project, and I would like to present some challenges and some first results that arise in that context. So firstly, the motivation for this work is that firstly, quality assurance for security critical systems is difficult in general, and the difficulty there is that it's not like any other property that you would like to verify the system against, but security is more difficult than other properties you might like to verify. I will discuss that a little bit on the next couple of slides. And the second issue is that, well, in practice, we have system evolution, and we still want to have system assurance. So what do you do after you tested your software and after you actually started using it, but the system starts evolving? How do you make sure that the system still is secure, even if you were once confident that it was secure when you developed it? But it keeps changing, of course. And yes, we are working towards addressing these challenges in an approach based on model-based testing, and I will say a little bit about what we're trying to achieve there. So firstly, why is security difficult and more difficult than testing other properties in general? The problem is that security means you have to worry about a motivated adversary who tries to break the system. So it's not like in safety critical systems where you may have high assurance expectations, but you would usually assume that the system fails in a stochastic way, so you have some measure for measuring the probability that the system will fail, and if you proceed with enough quality assurance, then hopefully you can raise that level of confidence to a degree where you are sufficiently happy. But the problem with security is if you have a motivated adversary, whenever there's one vulnerability left in the system and there is enough motivation for a highly skilled attacker to find that vulnerability, then eventually it's highly likely that it will be found because you have a motivated attacker as opposed to just a stochastically failing system. So that's the challenge with security. So if you just take usual quality assurance techniques like off-the-shelf testing and apply it to, and you would like to do security assurance, then it's not immediately clear whether this is the best approach, because it's this main difference between testing security and testing other properties, even assurance properties with high degree of confidence. Okay, so why is security more difficult? I mean, apart from the fact that you have to deal with a motivated attacker, the problem in practice is that usually, although we have very strong security mechanisms today, which can be used even in civilian systems, we have very strong cryptography, not only in the military domain, but also in the civil domain. But nevertheless, we have insecure systems, which everyone is aware of. About every week there is some kind of bad news, either a vulnerability that has to be patched, or maybe hacker hacking into a system and stealing lots of customer data and so on. So why is that still the problem, although we have these strong security mechanisms? Well, I'm trying to visualize the reason for that problem on the slide in that picture. I'm not sure if you can see that, but this is a road which is blocked by a gate, so that is supposed to be the security mechanism, and as you can see, the mechanism itself is secure, it has not been broken, but you can also see it's not securely embedded into the system context, because the cars have simply been driving around the gate. So that's more or less the current state of the art of security in practice. And this is another reason why security is so challenging for quality assurance, because it's not enough just to test the gate, whether it's secure, but you also have to test the context of that particular mechanism, so you really have to make an integrated and watertight quality assurance approach to the whole system that you worry about. So, yeah, a little bit more examples about why security is different from other properties, as I argued already. Well, just three slides with concrete examples. So firstly, this is a classical example from the Unix world, where an old version of the Unix operating system, when you log into the system, you have to you have to type in your username and you have to type in your password. In these old versions, the system checked the password character by character, and at the first character that was wrong, it immediately returned with an error. And people were able to show, at least in a laboratory environment, that, firstly, of course, this means that in principle, you can measure the amount of time that passes until the first character is incorrect. So that means, you can find out which character that is. And that also means, if you think about it a little bit, you can start with the first character in the password, try out all possibilities, so 26 if you just have the normal alphabet, and by measuring the amount of time until it takes until the system comes back with an error message, you can see whether the first letter is correct or not, and after you found out the first correct letter, you can iterate the procedure, and that way you only need 26 times n attempts, where n is the password length, although you would really, theoretically, you should require 26 to the n attempts, and of course that would be a much higher number for a reasonably large n, so this means this is a way where you can really break the system in a feasible way. And this is just one example, so yeah, how would you find this kind of problem with classical testing if you're not aware of the problem to start with? And probably you wouldn't, because you couldn't really do so much testing to find out that if someone follows that strategy, they will eventually find out the password. So only if you already know the problem, you would be able to find such problems by manual testing. And the problem is, how about the vulnerabilities that you're not aware of yet, because no one has found this kind of vulnerability yet. So secondly, untrustworthy programmers. So in usual quality assurance, you have to deal with the fact that programmers are lazy, or they are bad programmers and they make mistakes, of course. But in security, you even have to take into account the fact that the programmers may intentionally build in a backdoor in order to be able to exploit it later, either as some kind of job protection, or after they lose their job, to still be able to sabotage the company or to make some monetary gain from that backdoor. So that's another reason why security is really much more challenging than other kinds of assurance, because you really have to look for the backdoors which can be hidden in the system arbitrarily deeply. So for example, the attacker, in this case the programmer, could use a backdoor like that discussed on the previous slide, which is hard to find anyway, but if he intentionally hides it somewhere in the system, it's even harder to find it. So that's another reason, and then the third reason is cryptography. So by definition, cryptography is supposed to be resilient against brute force attacks. So what does that now mean for testing? Well, if you theoretically wanted to have a complete test coverage, then this should not be feasible, because this would mean, well, very theoretically at least, you would have to create every possible key and every possible random value if you really want complete test coverage, in the sense of testing every possible value that could ever be processed by the system, which is usually infeasible anyway. But in the case of if you use cryptography, then it's even more infeasible. It should even be provably impossible to do that in any way, because otherwise the cryptographic algorithms wouldn't be secure in the first place. So here in security, especially if you use cryptography, achieving a high level of test coverage is even more difficult than it is already in general. Okay, so yeah, then just a little bit about the kind of approach we are following, and the European research project in particular, in order to address this problem. As I mentioned already, the central idea is that of model-based testing, which of course is a more general idea, which has been developed by other people for quite some time now, and our idea is to take that idea and to apply it to security-critical systems. And of course, yeah, the context of model-based testing is also more general generally that of model-based development. So firstly, one slide on what that is supposed to mean in general. Well, as you're probably aware of already, because it's quite well known by now, the idea is that if you start with the requirements on your system that you want to develop as usual, you don't immediately, after you gather the requirements, you don't immediately start programming, but firstly you construct some models, for example, using the Unified Modeling Language, UML, and this allows you firstly to then include special requirements, in this case security requirements, as part of the model. So for that, as was already mentioned, we developed an extension of the UML called UMLSec, which allows you to include these security requirements in these models. And then we have developed tool support, which allows you to analyze the models automatically against the security requirements. So this is this part up there. And then, of course, in the next step, you still need to get to the source code. To some degree, it's sometimes possible to automatically generate a code out of UML models. This is so far not possible in general. So you, in most cases, you will still have to do some manual coding. But then, as mentioned, the idea is that at least you can still generate test sequences from the UML models, and that way ensure that the code is actually conformant to the models. And because you verify the models against the requirements, that means that the code actually enforces those requirements. So that's the story. If you assume that you build a new system from scratch using model-based development, but of course in many situations you would like to do quality assurance for a system part of which already existed previously, but then you can still use the approach by firstly starting with the source code for those parts and then creating the UML models, so you go backwards. And there's also tool support available out there that allows you to do that. And then you can still go back and include the requirements that you want to verify, and again verify the models against the requirements and make sure that the models are actually conformant to the source code by model-based testing. And another part of the picture, which I'm not really going to talk much about in this presentation, but which is also important for security, is considering the context of system configurations at runtime. So for example, user permissions or firewall configurations. So if you really want to have a system which is secure at runtime, then of course it's not enough to statically verify or to verify the system at development time, but it also has to be securely configured, and all tools also support doing that. But that's not what I'm really going to talk about in this presentation. So, okay, then in the context of the secure system lifecycle, the idea is that the approach that we're developing should support the as much as possible the complete system life cycle. In order to be able to address the problem of security, as I mentioned already, you really need an approach which is integrated and watertight, not only through the system level hierarchies, but also through the system life cycle, because again, the attacker can choose to attack the system at any point that he has access to. For example, if the attacker is the developer of the system or someone who has access to the testing, to the test cases, they might exploit that as well by modifying the code, for example. Then is the question, I talked already about model-based testing. So why is that interesting from a different perspective? I said already, this allows you to analyze the model against the security requirements, and so the advantages of that are that if you do this in the context of model-based development, this means that you have the model much earlier in the development life cycle than you will have the source code, and this means that if you find bugs already after you created the first models, they are easier and less expensive to fix than if you only find them after you actually have implemented the whole system. And it's also more efficient to find security vulnerabilities on that level, simply because the models are more abstract than the source code, so it's the tools are much more powerful and can deal with larger systems than you would be able on the source code level. But on the other hand, of course, you still need to analyze the source code, because that's what's going to be executed in the end. So the idea of our approach is, as I said already, to firstly analyze the model and then analyze the code against the model by generating test sequences from the specification model. And the goal in particular of the work I'm discussing in this presentation is that to now address the problem that if your system changes because of the usual system evolution, how to save verification effort that you've done before the system changed in order to still be able to reuse it afterwards. Of course, to some degree, you will have to re-verify the system, because those parts that changed will have to be re-verified, but at least you would like to be able to reuse as much as possible of the verification effort that you did before the system changed. I mentioned already this the security extension of the UML called UMLSec, I think I pretty much discussed this already. So the idea is that you can include the security requirements as part of the UML models. You can verify the UML models against the security requirements using automated tools, and then you can verify the code against the model, for example, making use of model-based testing. So tool support, I mentioned that already, so this is the main part of our work. And the idea with that tool support is that the user should only really be required to be able to use firstly the UML notation, and then secondly the UMLSec extension, meaning be able firstly to know what the security requirements are, and secondly be able to include them in the UML models. And the actual security analysis of the models against the security requirements are actually done completely automatically. So the user doesn't really have to worry about how the security analysis on the model level works. Now a little bit about what I mean by performing model-based testing in this context. And I discussed that at the end of a cryptographic protocol, because that's quite a nice example for a highly security critical component of a system, which is on the one hand rather compact, but it is also quite likely to be vulnerable. So there are a lot of examples in the history of cryptographic protocols where protocols turned out to be insecure, sometimes many years after they were developed and they were started to be used. And this still continues today. So even though you might think, these protocols have been developed for 20 or 30 years now, If you look at the actual implementations, you really have bugs coming up very regularly. So very recently there was a problem with the recent version of OpenSSL, for example, where there was a signature check that had been in there in that implementation for many years, which was simply wrong. So it was the signature was simply not being checked correctly, which of course makes the whole protocol insecure, and if an attacker is aware of the problem, it, the protocol really becomes pointless. So it is really an issue. And so what I mean by model-based testing in this example is that well, we take a model of that protocol, typically a sequence diagram like this, and then we have to make sure that the implementation correctly implements that model in a way that doesn't allow any security vulnerabilities. So, the lines of research that we are following here in order to specialize model-based testing to the case of security, and there are different strategies we follow here. Firstly, the idea is that if you take model-based testing in a very general sense, then you might just generate test sequences across the whole system. Usually, of course, you don't get complete test coverage. So the question now is how to select test cases in a way that you get the most value for the kind of property you would like to establish in your system. And this is the same case in model-based security testing. So the challenge for us to in developing this work is to find an approach where based on the models, for example, this model of the cryptographic protocol, our tool automatically selects those test cases that are specifically relevant for finding possible security vulnerabilities for the system. So as usual, it's infeasible to exhaustively test the system in the sense that every possible value of every variable in the system could be tried out, which theoretically is something you would need to do if you really want to know that the system will be secure for every possible valuation of all variables. But that's practically impossible, in particular because the system again make use of cryptography, so there it should actually be impossible for principled reasons. So we pursue different strategies in order to select those test cases that are particularly important for increasing the confidence that we want to have in the system. Okay, so and how do we do this? So to some degree, we can do this just at the hand of the UML model, but we would like to go beyond that and actually do white box testing in some sense in order to really find the points in the code where something could go drastically wrong. For example, the points where a signature should be checked between the part of the code where a message is received and the part where the next message should be sent out. For that we make use of control flow graphs, which can be generated from the source code, and these are analyzed by our tools and also used in order to inform the tool about which kind of paths are particularly relevant for the security of the system and which should then be tested particularly extensively. So for example, coming back to the SSL protocol, which is the standard protocol for securing internet connections, for example, this is used in HTTPS connections. So what you have to do, or what our tool has to do, is to firstly bind the relevant parts of the model to those parts of the implementation, which actually requires in some cases some manual effort, because if you in the specification model, if you have a symbol like RC, which is in this case supposed to be the random number generated by the client, then you cannot be sure that it will be called the same thing on the code level, especially if you want to test a system which hasn't been developed in the model-based development context. So, the creation of that random value can in itself be relatively complex. So firstly, you have to understand the program sufficiently well to understand what the symbol actually means on the source code level. So that requires some manual program understanding, which I don't think is realistic to automate in the near future. But this is something you have to do in order to be able to link the model against the implementation level. But after you've done that, and this is something you probably would have to do anyway, even if you didn't do model-based testing, because if you really want to do white box testing of the system, then you really have to understand the system to some degree. And this is just a way of making this program understanding more systematic than otherwise. But assuming you have done this, you have linked the model against the relevant part of the code where you have to interface the code in order to generate the test sequences. The idea is now, as I said already, to focus on a particularly central execution part of the system and to make sure that this is actually implemented correctly. And again, this is an example for that is in fact this recent flaw in the OpenSSL implementation where they implemented the signature, where there was this problem with the signature check. So the way the central idea is that in the context of a cryptographic protocol, after the protocol receives a certain message and before the next message is being sent out, according to the specification, a certain check has to be performed. So whatever this means here now, the details don't really matter, but it could be, for example, that the signature received from the server needs to be checked to make sure that it is actually a valid signature which was actually signed by the server. And this check really has to be done there. If it's omitted or if it's done incorrectly, then of course the whole implementation will be insecure. And this is what is checked here. So firstly, the point, we have to identify the point where the message is received and the point where the next message is sent out. And then what the tool does is approach is to test all the paths that go that the system can proceed from the point of P to the point Q and to make sure that in each case the relevant condition will actually be checked by the system. So this is really, if you look at the testing at a very localized scale for this particular property, then this is something that you have to do for every message in the protocol that has to be sent out. And that's an example for what I said about that our approach has to identify the very central parts of the system that have to be tested, especially thoroughly. So now, as I said, the goal of the current research program specifically is to maintain the level of assurance even if the system evolves, which it usually does. In the worst case, you would just have to redo all your verification effort, which would be very expensive. So what we're trying to do is here to allow the user to only verify those parts which really have to be verified and to keep the amount of additional effort as minimal as possible. The idea here is that we're developing an approach which allows you to have a model code co-evolution in the sense that while the source code is changed, the model is changed automatically at the same time, and this allows you to then go back and again verify the model against the security requirements as I explained earlier. So that way you can make sure that only those parts of the system which changed actually have to be verified, and those parts which remain unchanged, you can reuse the earlier verification results. And this is something where we're, where we're currently working on in the context of this research project, and we're extending our existing tool base in order to support this model code co-evolution. And the way this is done is by making use of refactoring on the code level, and to have virtualization mappings between the model and the code to make sure that the refactorings which are done on the code level are actually also applied on the model level. So yeah, as I said, we're currently extending our existing tool base in order to support that in the context of the Eclipse framework, and making use of the standard tools like JUnit in RET in this context. Some first result about what we've been trying to apply this to. So again, the running example of a cryptographic protocol, as I mentioned already, for example, if you again considering the SSL protocol, this is implemented as part of the Java Secure Circuits extension, which was made open source recently. But before that, there was an independent open source project which also implemented that library called Jesse, which has different versions. So we use our approach in order to apply the assurance to those evolving versions of the library, and we were quite happy that this seems to be a good approach and seems to significantly reduce the effort which would otherwise arise if you would have to completely verify the different versions. Just some technical details which I don't really want to discuss in so much detail, but from that application, as I mentioned, what you have to do is to link those symbols in the specification to the relevant parts of the implementation, and then also you have to apply different kinds of refactoring operations in order to progress from one version of the library to the next. Performance, we've done some measurements about in this case, the feasibility of these refactoring operations, and although this is still at the research prototype stage, so we don't really have a product we want to sell, it seems to be reasonable given that it's still a research prototype, this seems to be feasible to apply this to industrial strength systems. Using that approach, we actually found a vulnerability which is similar to the one that I mentioned earlier. It's not the same because this is not OpenSSL, but similarly, again, there was a check for signature missing in a particular scenario in which the code can be executed. Okay, some other applications of this approach in general. So generally model-based security engineering that we've been doing over the last couple of years. I cannot really go in detail about all of them, but if you want to know more about any of them, you can just ask me after the talk. But just wanted to comment about two or three of them in a little bit more detail. So something we've been looking at is, for example, the specification of the German health card architecture. So there we were able to apply our tools and to analyze that specification, and we actually did find some interesting issues there from the point of view of the security, and in particular when you look at the part of the system which is implemented at the practitioner's offices. So I'm not saying that the system is completely insecure, but this approach helped us to point out some issues where you have to be careful how to apply operational methods and operational constraints in order to ensure the security in a context where on the technical level you might otherwise have some issues. Another application was together with BMW, and there we used our approach to analyze an intranet search engine, which again was also security critical because there were some confidential documents in that database which should only be viewable by some of the users. And again, the approach seemed to work quite nicely. And yet another application, in this case together with O2 Germany, in that case in the context of a mobile communication architecture, and there again we were quite happy that that our approach worked quite well. Last one, I think, that was an earlier application together with earlier project together with Hypo Vereinsbank. There we actually did look at their employment of the SSL protocol as part of an internet bank architecture, which was quite interesting because in order to be able to use it in the context of their system, they had to implement a second layer protocol on top of that, and that is of course something which is quite difficult to do. So we were quite happy that using our approach we could demonstrate that this was actually a secure system. I think I should wrap up. So if you would like to know more information about these applications, I would be happy to give more details after the talk. So I'll just skip this here. Yes, more recently we've also been trying to investigate the feasibility of these kind of model-based testing approaches. Of course, firstly, I mean, we're convinced it's a very interesting approach. That's why we're doing research in that direction. But from a scientific point of view, of course, we would like to find out more about to which degree it is, not only feasible, but also cost-effective. So presumably, there are some application scenarios where it makes more sense to use these kind of techniques than in other scenarios. And this is also a line of research where we've been starting to do, and so far, yes, and we've been able to show that in some areas it is actually quite an effective approach. This gets to the end of the talk. As I said, and I hoped I explained sufficiently, security testing is quite challenging. It's more difficult than quality assurance in general, and it is, of course, also a challenge to make sure that your assurance results get preserved after, or at least as much of them get preserved after the system may have changed. I was trying to explain a line of research that we're following as part of this Secure Change European research project, which tries to address this challenge in a model-based testing approach. And yes, I think that was the last slide. Okay, so any questions?
Thank you very much. So I'm sorry that I haven't introduced myself. My name is Lena Schieferdecker from Technical University Berlin, Forschungsfokus. I'm asked to moderate the session today, and in addition to the presentation, I'm going to have a longer discussion slot of 15 minutes right before the lunch. And now we have, sort of say, 5 minutes for immediate direct questions to the presenter.
Actually, I didn't get the point how you did the model affecting the security issue there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to give a demo of that afterwards?
I didn't have time to really talk about this UMSTEC extension in a lot of, not at all so much actually. I can look up a slide from a different talk and maybe at the discussion session later and say a little bit about that. So the central idea is that, UMSTEC is an extension of the UML in the sense that, the UML is supposed to be extendable by making use of labels in the UML models, so-called stereotypes and tags, and that those sort of official extension mechanisms of the UML well, were exploited in order to create this UMLSec extension. So this means that while you capture the security requirement as part of the UML model by including those labels, those stereotypes in the UML model. So for example, well, if you have a system where a particular data value is supposed to remain secret, then there is a stereotype for that, which you include in the diagram, for example, the class diagram, where that data value is specified, and that way you can mark that data value that this should well, this should satisfy secrecy, and this is part of this UMLSec extension, which I didn't really have the time to talk about in this presentation, but I'm happy to give more details maybe in later half after the talk. Okay. But that's the central idea, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, what I said. I mean, yeah, it's a bit more rich than that, I guess. So you can not only specify the security requirements, but you can also consider different kinds of attacker models as part of this UMLSec extension. So, there could be, for example, the default attacker, which is sort of a hacker that is outside the company and tries to, for example, is able to eavesdrop on messages that are exchanged over the internet if they are not encrypted. And that is different from an internal attacker who is also able to eavesdrop on the messages on the local area network if they aren't encrypted. And of course also the messages that internal attacker has the key in order to encrypt them too. So yes, that's correct, and this is in fact supported by the UMLSec extension, that you can consider different types of attackers and their different strengths. And yeah, you have to decide against which kind of attacker you want to verify your system against. That makes a difference. And of course, yeah, if you have a system which is a military system where you really have to even worry about attackers that are foreign governments with arbitrary resources, then of course you need a higher level of security. And if it's just, you know, a commercial product where you just want to have a base level of security, and of course you don't want to invest this large amount of money which you would have to invest in order to make it that secure, because you only want to invest so much money that it doesn't pay for the attacker to try to breach the protection, because they don't gain enough by doing that. So that's always, and you know, in practice you always have to take care about the commercial aspect, and it's, you know, you want to invest as much money as you need in order to sufficiently discourage the attacker from making the effort to try to break the system. But it will never be 100% secure anyway.
Thank you.